Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome Steve Ricard to the podcast. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, James?
I'm doing well, thank you. Now, Steve, for those that may not be familiar with you, you are an implementation team manager with Fix Software, right? So we've had many people on from Fix before. So it's a CMMS that that many people use, many people are familiar with. You're also a CRL. And you also have your CFM. Now, very brief introduction. What can you do to fill in the blanks for us?
Sure. I started my maintenance career back in 1986 and performed my first implementation of a CMMS while I was working at a property management company. Back then, it was DataStream's brand new introduced MP2 product. Which, to kind of give you an indication of how old I am, that is now obsolete. So sometimes I feel like I might be getting towards the obsolete stages myself. maintained my career, really fell in love with computers at that point, and maintained the maintenance career, earned actually a networking administration certification. And then, as you mentioned, I achieved my certification in facilities management from Northeastern University and decided that I liked the computers so much that I wanted to do more than just implement for the property management company that I was working for. So I shifted over to work for another CMMS provider back in 2000. And I've pretty much worked in that arena ever since.
All right. So it's fairly easy to say that you've been involved with CMMSs for quite a period of time. If MP2 was new when you were getting into it, I still know some organizations that run it. But that being said, you've been involved with the CMMS for a long period of time, or across a wide range of industries. Now, what is a CMMS in your words?
So I'll start it with the acronym. I'm sure just about all your listeners are aware, but it stands for Computerized Maintenance Management System. And some people will replace that system with software. And basically what it is a two-part system. The first part is a database where all the information about a company's maintenance organization gets stored. Well, if you've ever worked with multiple Excel worksheets, workbooks, or a database, you know that it's not always user-friendly to retrieve the data that you want to see. So the CMMS has a second part, and that's what the end user sees. And we call that the front end. Now, the front end's role is to organize the data in a way that allows users to view all that information that otherwise might be jumbled up. In addition, the front end will contain some computer code where some complex computations on the data will be made. And it does that to help the maintenance teams better schedule their maintenance work, keep track of parts and materials. And a CMMS should also really have a good, strong reporting tool. So now that you can get that data in a report that's going to make sense to everybody within the organization.
All right. Excellent. So a very good definition of what a CMMS is. You know, and they've been around for quite a while, as you've mentioned previously. But how do organizations know if that their current CMMS is becoming out of date, obsolete, or when it's time to start looking for something new?
Well, believe it or not, the first CMMS came in about 1965, and it was a punch card system. So the principles of how a CMMS should work have been around for over 50 years. So when I'm evaluating some things that I would look for, is the user interface friendly and modern looking? With the advancement in programming development tools, software companies have really been able to simplify the user experience while still being able to keep that complex computation that I mentioned earlier. If the system isn't user-friendly, then companies may be losing some productivity and user adoption may be difficult. So that's one area where you may want to look at replacing. Does the system they're currently using have a robust mobile solution? Do we want to try and move away from the pen and paper and go paperless? Well, you'd want to have a good, robust mobile solution to do that. And how about some advanced features? In the older CMMSs, pretty much all of the scheduled maintenance was going to be based on a time period. Does your system allow for meter-based and or condition-based monitoring? And then the last thing I would look at is, what are the hardware requirements for the system? Is the customer running on outdated servers, old operating systems, because the software itself won't run on anything newer? And I guess one more thing. If there is anyone out there still using a punch card CMMS, well, then they should certainly consider upgrading.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, those old servers that you mentioned, that's an issue for a variety of different reasons. It's not just the fact that, you know, they're old, but is there security patches that are no longer being applied to those that present a cybersecurity risk? Are they unreliable and we can't support them anymore from an IT perspective? There's lots of different things to consider.
Absolutely. And you also have to consider the older servers may not have had the storage capacity. Your newer CMMSs really promote attaching electronic files, whether they be pictures, videos, or perhaps AutoCAD drawings, which all take up quite a bit of space. And older servers just didn't have that capacity. They also may not have had the RAM or processor capacity to function in a fast paced environment. In addition to the security issues, there's just a whole bunch of things to look at when you're looking at your hardware.
Yeah. And the other big thing that comes to mind, too, is with all the information that's out there and other systems out there, we want a CMMS that can integrate with other systems, whether it's a GIS or condition monitoring or whatever type of solution we have. We want these to be able to talk to each other, so we're not having to manage 18 different systems and run 18 different windows on our computer all the time.
You know, that's a great point. And one of the things that I should have brought up earlier when I told you some things to look at, can your system integrate? And does your system have a closed app, meaning it isn't allowed to connect outside? Or are you deploying some of the new technologies like APIs where, for instance, at Fixed, we use an open API platform. We can connect to just about anything that also allows API connections. And we can now keep perhaps the accounting people and the purchasing people within their purchasing software, the maintenance folks within the maintenance software, and use this API or bridge, if you will, to communicate to the two, taking the information from programmable logical controllers and automatically feeding that into your CMMS. So another example of some packages that may be outdated because they don't allow for those hooks.
Yes, absolutely. Now, we've covered quite a bit of reasons why organizations or how organizations would know their system is out of date. But when should they actually take that plunge and move from that outdated system to a new system? What drives them to do that?
Well, that's an interesting one. When I first started in the industry, there was no such thing as cloud-based software. So, you know, we talked about the hardware that they have to consider. Should they consider moving over to a software as a service, a SaaS? And also, they need to take a hard look, maybe kind of take a forensic approach to their existing system. What worked with their original system? What didn't? And how can they improve? I want to tell people they really should subscribe to the 5P philosophy, which is proper planning prevents poor performance. When you want to look at a system or consider replacing, you really need to do a good job of truly evaluating and plan appropriately so that you can be stood up when you do move over.
All right, excellent. Now with that, what do organizations need to consider when preparing to transition from that outdated CMMS to a new one? What are the things they really need to consider? Is it, sure, you know, that just that cloud versus hosted? What else do they need to consider?
Well, in the old days, we also had to look at our printer technologies. You know, if you're running an old system, you may be restricted to the printers that you're using. Typically, that's not an issue today. If you go to a web-based solution, the customer doesn't really have any workstation or server concerns. If they have a way to get out to the internet, they can pretty much access the software from anywhere. And with the advancements in smartphones and tablets, how are they going to arm their technicians? Are they going to arm them with mobile solutions, a workstation, or still go at it the old-fashioned way and process paper? Now, we obviously would recommend that you move away from paper and pen. Hard to store, hard to translate, and really see some efficiencies by moving to a fully electronic system.
All right, excellent. Now, with that, what about the training portion? Is that a consideration we have to take when we're looking at moving from an older system to a newer system? Is what people are used to? Are they going to adopt a new system? That sort of thing?
Absolutely. In so many instances, I've gone out and the decision to replace a software solution or to install a solution if they're not replacing something old has come from the top without end user involvement. The end users are really the ones who make or break a system. So there can be a directive from above, but if the end users don't understand, one, what the goals are of the organization, but two, they don't understand how to use the software, then their user adoption is going to be very low. If their user adoption is low, then it's going to make it very difficult for the system to catch on. You're probably going to have people entering data in inconsistent methods. And what that leads to is harder data to retrieve. Harder data to retrieve means harder reports to run, which pretty much means a failed system. So what we really want to do is get the end user buy-in from the beginning. And the best way to accomplish that is to make sure that they are trained and as comfortable as possible utilizing the software.
All right, excellent. So we need to consider all of those people things in addition to the technology considerations, the software considerations, all those things.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you are doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com.
Now, one of the questions I get often is how do organizations decide on whether or not to import that old history from the outdated CMMS or the previous CMMS to the new one? How do we decide that, and is it worth the effort?
It can be. And it's a great question because so often we get customers who have data in their legacy system and their immediate reaction is, hey, let's bring everything into the new system. Well, we need to ask, first of all, why? Why are you making the switch to a new system? Is the old system just antiquated? Or are there new features, functions that you want to deploy? Or are you unhappy with the configuration on top of the other items that I just brought up? So is all the data in your old system good? Is it clean? Or do you want to make improvements, adjustments? So we need to take that into consideration on what we're going to bring in. A big one is we need to find out if they own the data. When they move off their old system, will they lose access to it? Was the data on a proprietary database platform? Well, if they're going to lose access to it, then we certainly would want to bring that data in. However, if they can access the data, generally what I recommend is that they bring in their asset records, their parts, any of their PM schedules, as well as any open work orders. Then generally, we recommend that they keep their historic records in their historic system. But again, if there's a case where the customer won't have access to their old system once they migrate over, then we really want to take a review of which historic records should be brought in.
All right. And I've seen some organizations where, you know, they were not going to have access to that legacy system. So they export it to Excel, all the records there, and they keep it in Excel if they ever have to look back at it. I've seen some that move it into some sort of Access database. And I've seen others that actually move it over to the CMMS. You know, all have their pros and cons. But the summary of it is we want to make sure we have access to the data, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, as long as you have access to it. And don't forget, a lot of that old data, you probably had folks working on that data who are no longer with the company. So do we want to bring in that type of information into the new system? But as you said, in summary, we just need to make sure that you can always have access to it.
All right, excellent. So we've made the decision on what to do with our data. We've made a decision on what platform we're going to go with. What do we need to do around the people to make sure that it's adopted? Is it initial training and that's it? Is it, you know, a full awareness campaign, then some training, then some hands-on stuff? What do we got to do to make sure our staff are prepared for this transition? Because it is going to be a big transition going from an old, outdated system to a new user-friendly system.
Yeah, of course. You know, change is difficult. People struggle with change. We like to be comfortable. So whenever you introduce a change, it can be difficult for people. So the most important thing, first and foremost, we need to communicate. We need to inform the end user that changes are being considered. Ideally, we want to get the staff involved in the selection process. I've worked with a bunch of companies and I've said, you know what? Bring in the person who is going to be your biggest naysayer into the project really early. Let's address that person's concerns. And if we can make them happy, then everybody else in the organization knows they're the naysayer. So if they're brought on board, it's going to make that adoption easier. So then we do want to do a end user training, make sure everybody is trained up. But we don't want to walk away at that point. We want to stay involved. We want to have regular scheduled calls, webinars with the customers to make sure that everybody is comfortable. As soon as somebody gets uncomfortable, even slightly, we want to manage that situation right away. We want to get involved with them before it grows too big and they move from uncomfortable to disgruntled.
All right, excellent. And sometimes, you know, those biggest naysayers are the informal leaders within the organization. So you want to make sure you grab them, because if they make that change with you, others will follow typically.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, if you can get the naysayers on board, then most other people are going to jump in.
Now, if we get those naysayers on board, What other preparations do organizations need to make to be ready for this full transition?
Well, one thing that I can't recommend enough is creating a standard operating procedure manual, an SOP. It always amazes me when I show up and people are pulling out SOPs for absolutely every bit of maintenance that they perform, but they don't have one for their maintenance activity software, their CMMS. Develop an SOP. It should clearly define how the system will be used, and it also needs to be a living, breathing document. You can't create it once and then walk away. You need to perform constant reviews of the system, and if you make changes, make sure you update that SOP. Folks who do that, they're the ones that I see always be most successful.
Yeah, I think, you know, having those SOPs, it ensures everyone's entering in the data in the right way, the right format, using the right reports. It's all those things that really drives the consistency in the data quality within that CMMS. One of the things I often see too is organizations will develop the SOP, train people on it. When the CMMS is being prepared to roll out, there's usually a delay. So now people have not seen or touched the system for a period of time. And then they're just rolled out with no further follow-up training or ongoing training. So it starts to degrade and go backwards because no one's using that SOP. No one's using those standards that we developed for the CMMS.
Right. And when you talk to them, they've got their original SOP to perform their maintenance task. And then at the back of that SOP, they've got some technical service bulletins attached. So as the manufacturer said, hey, we need to make some changes to some maintenance tasks, here's an update. They're very quick to add those updates to their maintenance task SOP. Well, we need to do that same thing with your CMMS SOP.
Absolutely. Now, in addition to SOPs, if you had a magic wand, what is the one thing you would do differently with organizations looking to update their CMMS?
Ooh. You know, I guess I would actually want to wave that wand over the people instead of over the technology or process. As I mentioned earlier, change can be difficult and challenging. So I'd really want to ease the folks' concerns and help them understand that sometimes change can be a good thing. Yep. You know, we often run into people who just, they're so uncomfortable that their discomfort level really slows the project down. And as a good consultant, we really need to be there to hold their hand and make them as comfortable as possible. Excuse me, which will just make the process go so much easier.
All right. Excellent. Now, what is the one thing you want our listeners to take away from this conversation on updating CMMSs, transitioning from outdated ones? What's the one thing you want them to take away and do differently tomorrow or next week?
Well, if I can, I'd like to give you two takeaways.
All right. I'll take two.
All right. Number one, look, take a hard look at your system. Is it doing everything you need to do? Look at it as if it was your first day on the job. Is it easy to use? Is it user friendly? Are you getting out of it what you need to get out of it? Number two, listen. This goes back to the communicate that I talked about earlier. Really listen to your end users. Don't just hear them, but listen to them. They're the ones who are going to make or break it. Do they have legitimate complaints? What can you do to make their jobs easier? If you can make their jobs easier, you're going to go a long way in improving morale, which then, of course, can improve overall productivity and performance.
All right. Excellent. Two great takeaways there. Now, I want to thank you, Steve, for taking the time to talk to us today about making that transition from outdated CMMSs. But before we go, where can people find out more about you, Fix, making that transition? Where can people get in touch with you?
Sure. So people can find me directly on LinkedIn. It's Steve Rickard, R-I-C-A-R-D. through my Fix software account, email account, which would be steve.rickard@fixwithtwoeyessoftware.com. Of course, you can check out our website, fixsoftware.com. And I always invite anybody to contact me directly. And that telephone number would be 289-812-2308.
All right, excellent. I will make sure to put all this in the show notes so people can easily get in touch with you, find out what's going on with Fix, yourself, and all those great things. But before we go, do you have a favorite resource you want to share with our listeners on CMMSs, maintenance, and reliability? What is your go-to resource?
So one of them, I really need to give a shout out to Terrence O'Hanlon over at reliability.web. Reliability Web is constantly putting out great reads and information, super, super resource. SMRP.org, another great website for you. And then on a management level, I just finished reading a book, The Journey to Improved Business Performance by Stephen Thomas. What an awesome book for any current or aspiring manager.
All right, excellent. I appreciate those. I will make sure to put all those in the show notes as well so people can easily find them, get those resources. Well, Steve, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about CMMS, upgrading your CMMS, updating your CMMS, all those great things. I truly appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, no problem at all, James. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.